now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis going downhill, goes right past Brown and sends it down the facial. Served up from the Greek Freak.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Lillard launches a long bomb and drains it from straight on.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Nine games above 500 for the first time all season long, and it's starting to look a lot better here for the Bucks in terms of the optics, a lot of numbers that back it up as well. One area where it's starting to look really good, and it's a little more challenging to nail down what numbers exactly point to this, but I don't know that it's disputable, the chemistry between Giannis and Damian Lillard, certainly in a much better place than it's been ever during the very brief run we've seen this pairing. We kind of talked about this after the trade deadline. When you make a move like this, shipping out Chris Middleton and how important he had been throughout, you know, the last decade in this franchise's history, his importance on the development of Giannis as well. His importance in helping this team reach an NBA championship. It's partially a concession of, look, we just need more balance. Like, we can talk about the defense and the contract and everything else, but if this is centered around three top-heavy players, and one of those, I mean, I hesitate to say is unreliable, but Chris Middleton himself said, following the trade, I just needed more time. And I understand the franchise and the team, they're in a spot right now where they don't have that time. You know, they're looking to go, and they're preparing for a deep playoff run to hopefully get out of the first round of the playoffs for the first time in, three postseasons now. So we're on different levels in that sense. I get it. And I do think that was one of the challenges that this team was constantly facing, was you constructed this around Giannis and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton, you know, a step or a half step below level below those guys. And all of the games, and I don't mean this to pile on or pick on Chris Middleton, but all the games where he wasn't out there, it's not as radical as if you're playing without Giannis or Damian Lillard, but it changes your approach and it changes, you know, think back to the preseason and training camp, media day, the first month or so the regular season, too, and we heard Doc Rivers repeatedly discuss the things they had not installed yet and things they hadn't put in offensively yet because, well, we're waiting on Chris. And we got some things we want to get a look at. We want to try some other things. We want to try some small ball lineups. But we're waiting for Chris Middleton to get there to do this. So in the meantime, you're not just going through the motions. You're not playing like a preseason-style offense, but it's not to the level, it's not as detailed as what you were looking to do. And the longer you don't have that, the more it puts off those installs and the more it puts off your takeoff. And I think that's been the biggest piece of this trade. All these moves at the deadline, you certainly got much more athletic. You brought in more capable defensive players. I've seen the question asked hundreds of times since the trade deadline. Why isn't Andre Jackson Jr. played? Doc has addressed this a couple of times too, but you made moves at the deadline that meant there's not quite as much space right now for Andre Jackson Jr. There isn't as much of a role. You know, Andre Jackson Jr. stood out before the trade deadline because the Bucks didn't have a whole lot of athleticism. They didn't have a whole lot of very good or capable perimeter defenders. And once you got to the deadline, I mean, we saw what Gary Trent Jr. has given this group and other players. Like, I'm going to keep saying it. Limit your liabilities. Like, that was one of the biggest things we saw from last season to this season on the defensive side of the floor, and why that group has been much better for the Bucks this season, to limit the liabilities and make sure there's not multiple guys on the floor at any given time that you can pick apart and target. And for Andre, he stood out for those reasons. He was not one of those guys. And he frankly burst with athleticism. But you start to make moves for a Kyle Kuzma, for a Jericho Sims, Kevin Porter Jr., and you start to see more and more of those guys. And I mentioned this a couple of games ago as well. We all heard the Bucks are an older team. They're a slower team, limited athleticism. And I think some of us, you're aware they're an older team, and nobody's trying to say the Bucks are, in terms of athleticism, on the level of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But you would look at that and say, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's quite to those levels, but yeah, I get they're an older team and they're not going to play at the fastest pace in the league. And then you see these guys get on the floor with Giannis, and you see the influx of athleticism that you've brought to this group, and you start to realize, yeah, they needed this. Like, they needed this injection, not only for your defense, for your athleticism, to help, not that it was a disaster, but help out even more with your transition defense. Doc has said a couple of times, and I do want to get to how much of an impact has this made, but look, with some of these guys, we can start to target offensive rebounds because we got more athletic guys. We got guys that can crash the offensive boards and still get back and get set defensively. We couldn't do that before. So to bring it all home, that's, I think, the biggest thing that you missed was you were so reliant on three guys. Damian Lillard plays at a slower pace. Damian Lillard doesn't have great size, right, in the backcourt. Chris Middleton at this point is not the defender he once was, especially coming off of, you know, double ankle surgery in the offseason, multiple knee issues the past couple of years as well, and an advanced age. You start to see that on the defensive end of, we just need guys that can kind of hold up, do their job, be role players, and set the table for Giannis and Damian Lillard. And that's what we've seen since the deadline. Seven times leading up to the trade deadline, the Bucks had six or more players score in double figures in a single game. They've done it five times already since the deadline. Right, that balanced offensive attack where it's not just top-heavy and Giannis is scoring 30 and Dame's close to 30, Chris Middleton gets you 20, and then you look up and down and you say, well, next was Brook Lopez who had 7 points, like things like that, moving the ball around. I do think that's the other important piece for the other thing we've talked about quite a bit, how to fix the fourth quarter offense. Ball movement. Right, Damian Lillard and Giannis need to be the closers, but ball movement. Continue to move that thing around, and you don't know who's going to take the shot. That's a good and a bad thing, right? It's not just a, hey, if anybody can take it, how do you defend this group? Well, that does change a little bit when you get to the playoffs, but you know Giannis and Damian Lillard are the guys to take the shot. Overall, you've won 6 of the last 7. You're 9 games above 500 for the first time this season. We all were worried. I should say most, we're worried about this second half schedule. There's still a long ways to go with 23 games. But so far, you couldn't have really asked for a better start to this mix. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at offensive rating for this group, especially in the fourth quarter. It's 2 games, but we've seen a much improved unit on that floor in these past 2 wins for the Bucks. So have we started to see even more movement in that regard? And the rest of the Eastern Conference, as we start to preview what's up next for the Bucks, a very, very tricky part of the schedule that they're about to embark on. We'll get into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
They expect to win games, and so far they have done plenty of it. Lillard, a head fake, steps into the three, and he cranks up a good-looking shot from the right wing and a needed one for the Bucks. Michelob Ultra 3 gets the Bucks back to within 7.
The Bucks missed, speaking of 7, missed their first 7 threes of this game. They shot 2 of 10 on threes in the first quarter. They shoot 6 of 10 in the second quarter, score 40 points. I mean, we talked about this before the game tipped off. And I know we mentioned on this show, too, when we were briefly previewing these 2 games upcoming with the Dallas Mavericks, hey, Dallas is not going to have Anthony Davis in either of those games. They're not going to have Derek Lively. They're not going to have Daniel Gafford. They started Moses Brown tonight. this was the 10th day on his 10-day contract. They are up against the cap, too, the apron, I should say. So they're waiting. Like, this was the final day, and they didn't sign him to a second 10-day. So they got to wait and look to see what else is out there and just kind of figure out how do we get through this without any bigs. So it could be a Mavs team that's in even more trouble in the front court when they come to Milwaukee on Wednesday night. But, you know, it's a Mavs team that's won games since that trade that sent Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think you could tell throughout the arena tonight with the game, too. Like, there is a lot of malaise surrounding this team, and you can understand why, right? Even when they're playing well, even though Kyrie Irving has been terrific for them since coming over in that trade, you shipped off Luka Doncic, the guy that was the centerpiece of your franchise. I don't even want to make the comparison because I don't want to put any of that into existence. We know, right? It's obvious. Yeah, it would suck if that happened. I think Bucks fans are aware of it. But they've been winning games. And we've talked about before, one of the things that Doc Rivers has had a knack for throughout his career, he gets the most out of his guys when the chips are down. You think back to, you know, the way they pushed the Indiana Pacers to six games in that series last year. Like, I don't want to take a victory lap or, hey, let's celebrate moral victories here. But you didn't have Giannis. And I think as we got closer to that series tipping off, you knew there wasn't going to be Giannis. Like, if you could read between the lines and the fact that the word that was associated and brought up the most about Giannis leading up to that series was hope. If hope is your strategy, you're in trouble. You knew Giannis wasn't going to play. You knew it was going to take some time. Damian Lillard, oh, by the way, gets dinged up the final regular season game against the Orlando Magic, and we start to get close to that series tipping off, and you see, well, wait a minute, why is Dame on the injury report? It was just Chris Middleton. And you drained everything you could out of Chris, the rest of that group, to 4-6 games. The win against the Clippers last year, too, where another situation like that. The win against the Heat this year, where it was just Dame and nobody else. The Bucks have checked off a lot of these types of wins, or a handful of them, already this season and last season, and those are spots that Doc Rivers excels in. It's what you've kind of seen from the Mavericks of late. So it's easy to look at and say, well, they traded Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis is out, these guys are out, they don't have any real centers available, Bucks should dominate this game. You knew that wasn't really going to be the case, or at least you thought that wasn't really going to be the case. And the way it started, it certainly wasn't. But all the credit in the world to this team to buckle down and say, okay, we're not doing this. We have the advantages. We gave up 20 points in the paint in the first quarter. Like, you got this size with Brooke Lopez, Giannis, and Kyle Kuzma. That's an area we need to dominate. And that's what started to play out over the course of the final three quarters of this game. But, you know, especially that second quarter. 40-27, you outscore the Mavs. You outscore them in the second and third quarters, 70-43. That's the difference in the game. You can point to the fourth quarter and say, well, the Bucks outscored 38-31. There's that fourth quarter issue again. I mean, I think the foot started to come off the gas pedal and you started to see some coasting going on in that fourth quarter. Fourth quarter offense is going to remain important to keep an eye on and see, why is this where it is? Like, this needs to be better. The offense as a whole needs to be better when you got Giannis and Damian Lillard. But what we started the show saying, it's looking better. I think it's undeniable. The chemistry is much better between Giannis and Damian Lillard now. And you know, everything goes through those two guys. If that's shut down, we got capable shooters on the perimeter. Torian Prince, Gary Trent Jr., who was terrific tonight. AJ Green can knock down shots. Kyle Kuzma can get some paint touches. He and Kevin Porter Jr. It's another thing Doc Rivers talked about before this game. You know, the importance of those two guys just getting into the paint. They can play downhill. They get into the paint. They force the defense to react. If Giannis is on the floor, you're going to give Kevin Porter Jr. that open shot. That's where he's money from, right at the elbow in those mid-range jumpers. You're going to let Giannis get rolling to the rim. Or Brooke Lopez. How many times we saw Brooke screen and roll in that win against the Denver Nuggets? Paint touches are the most important thing for any team, really, but we've seen the importance with this Bucks team these last 2 years especially. They got to get paint touches, especially when it's Giannis and Dame, to collapse the defense and kick out to your shooters. They have to prevent them. Like, again, this defense has been very solid, very good, start to finish so far this season. When they do find trouble, it's when they're getting beat on the perimeter and the opponent is getting paint touches. And these pieces that you brought in at the trade deadline, they help you address that. Like the fact that Andre Jackson Jr. was the guy you had to lean on heavily before these deals and say, well, if he can't slow him down, I don't know what plan B is. To reach the point now, Andre Jackson Jr. didn't play tonight. Andre Jackson Jr. has largely been out of the rotation since the trade deadline. It shows you how much they've upgraded their roster overall. And, you know, a few people see a few comments. I was wrong about the trade deadline. Didn't anticipate the payoff that we're seeing here. I didn't think you'd see these types of results. I was, I don't know about wrong, but shoulder shrug. Like, yeah, okay. I know this deal makes you much better in the offseason and potentially next year for financial reasons and everything else it opens up vis-a-vis getting under that second apron. We'll see how it plays out on the court. And, you know, it's still a smallish sample size, but it's no longer tiny. And the way it's playing out so far has been everything you've imagined. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Jericho Sims, another one that everybody was clamoring, like, hey, why haven't we seen Jericho Sims so far this season? Starting to see him now. And I think there is a lot to like. I don't know that Jericho Sims is pushing Brook Lopez for minutes and for being in the starting lineup, but there are some things you can work with there and hopefully continue to develop and build upon. But, you know, most importantly, he's a young player, right? Year after year after year, we had this conversation of, who are the young guys the Bucks are going to develop? I think that's another part of the infatuation with Ajax, is you just haven't had many of them through the years. You know, you look at one by one the young players the Bucks brought in and hoped to develop that either didn't pan out or they moved on from them. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon wins Rookie of the Year well before this started to become an issue, but Malcolm Brogdon and Giannis, I mean, those are your most impactful draft picks through the years. Dante DiVincenzo, you started to see something with. Then you move him in a deal that was twofold, right? You needed some Brook Lopez insurance, and also you knew it was going to be a challenge to retain Dante DiVincenzo in the offseason, especially, not especially, I mean, that was, I think, the key reason why the Bucks had locked up Grayson Allen prior to then. And you thought, well, is Dante's extension coming next? I think you saw he had priced himself out of that market. So one by one, you've just brought in these young guys where you see a flash and it just kind of fades out there. The Rashad Vaughns, the Thon Makers, right? And Andre Jackson Jr. is another one of those guys of, well, one of these times it's got to hit, right? And we see some flashes here. We see some potential there. It's not quite there yet. But we kept stressing, look, the important part is you just got to continue to stockpile some of these young guys. You got to develop them. You got to hit on this because of the spot you're in financially, especially before that trade that allowed you to shave some money off of your cap and sending Chris Middleton to the Wizards. But when you're a top-heavy team, you got to hit it on draft picks. And that was the other unfortunate part. Bucks don't really have much draft capital going forward. So every young guy you have now, it is extremely important that you get something out of it, that you develop. Kevin Porter Jr. fits into that mix as well. He's got a player option this summer. He's still a young player. There's a lot to like there. So you have radically reshaped your roster to go from the old, unathletic Bucks to the Bucks with Giannis, Damian Lillard, and some intriguing athletic pieces and ways to play differently, and a lot of cap flexibility this upcoming summer. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We see a lot of love for Jericho Sims in the comments on tonight's show, and rightfully so, right? It is going to be interesting to see what happens with the Jericho Sims minutes once Bobby Portis makes his return, but it all comes back to a point that was made over the summer when Doc Rivers And John Horst talked about flexibility and being able to play different ways. It was a comment that was misconstrued, I think, by a lot of Bucks fans. We'll revisit that coming up after this.
A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks right to left here in the second half. Giannis going downhill, goes right past Brown and sends it down the facial. Served up from the Greek Freak. And the Bucks have a 14-point lead. Sends that one down with authority.
Strong game from Giannis and Damian Lillard as they combined for 57 points tonight. Another game with six players scoring in double figures for the Bucks. It's the 12th time they've done that this season and the fifth time it's occurred since the trade deadline. Jericho Sims with 6 points tonight. And again, that the chemistry between Giannis and Damian Lillard is looking as good as it ever has since that pairing came to inception here in Milwaukee. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We mentioned we're going to keep an eye on the fourth quarter offense for the Bucks this season because it has frankly not been good enough. Especially for a team that has Giannis and Damian Lillard in the mix. You got to have overall, not just fourth quarter, overall, the offense has not been good enough. But you're starting to see the Bucks pushing that boulder up the hill now these past couple of games. After these last few games here, we've seen the Bucks move out of the basement in terms of fourth quarter offense. They're no longer 30th. They're 29th. They still have the fifth best defense in the fourth quarter, which, you know, maybe it's the most important thing. You're going to have to get stops, so it's important that your defense is in the clutch and in the fourth quarter. It's been as good as it's been. They're still a top 10 defense overall, but fourth quarter they've gotten even better. Now you got to see the offense get to those levels as well. If we take a look at the Bucks since the All-Star break, so since coming out of these newly acquired pieces, again, you haven't had the long runway of how everything fits. I do want to get back to that versatility comment. But if we take a look at how the Bucks have performed in the fourth quarter since coming out of the All-Star break, they are number 9 in defensive efficiency in the fourth quarter, and they are number 13. In offensive efficiency. Like, that's the mix that you're looking for. Even flipped, right? If that defense or offense is moving closer and closer to elite, the defense is just at least better than league average. I think that's the mix we're all looking for. And it's not a high sample size. It's not a huge sample size, I should say. It's 6 games that we're working with here. But that's the type of mix you're looking to see. In offense, it's better than league average. It's knocking on the door of being in the top 10 and a defense that's still in the top 10. Start to get those numbers if you're the Bucks. For your overall rankings, the Bucks are now number 10 in defensive efficiency, and they are less than a point per 100 possessions behind the Cleveland Cavaliers for 7th in defensive rating. They're a 10th of a point behind the Memphis Grizzlies for 9th. Offense, they're up to 12th now at a 113.7 offensive rating. Same story there. They're knocking on the door being at the level of the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James and Luka Doncic. And in your net rating, it's not great. It's a 1.8. You know, typically when you're targeting who are those teams that are built for success and you look at, well, you got to be a top 10 offense. You got to be a top 10 defense. Bucks are close to those numbers at 10 and 12 right now. We're 12 and 10, offense and defense. But the net rating is typically around a 7, I'd say, on average. Bucks are at a 1.8. That's 11th best right now, just behind the Golden State Warriors for 10th. Long story short, we're seeing the movement now. Continue to do that down the stretch here. And tonight, obviously, was not a clutch game. Continuing to push those numbers, the offense and the clutch. I mentioned that versatility comment. So, you know, I think we've started to see the plan come together for John Horst. You go back to the summer, and Doc talked about this. John Horst talked about this as well. It was, I think the Bucks' second summer league game where Doc Rivers put on the headset and joined the ESPN broadcast, and that's where we all learned for the first time, oh, so Chris Middleton had surgery on both of his ankles, huh? And you heard that message of versatility defensively. I think a lot of Bucks fans took that as, well, means you're moving on from Brook Lopez. It means you're moving on from Bobby Portis. You need a guy that can switch, that can play on the perimeter defensively, that can block shots, that can do everything, right? That's Brook Lopez, but younger and more agile and quicker. Victor Wembanyama, basically. I never thought that was the case. Just, you go back to last year when Doc Rivers arrived and you listen to him talk about Brook Lopez, and this year especially, I mean, after the Nuggets game, go back and listen to what Doc Rivers had to say about Brook and how much he raved about him. You could tell Brook Lopez, that's a Doc Rivers guy, right? He loves Brook Lopez and the way that he plays and what he brings. I always took that as you need Brook Lopez, you need somebody else, right? Not just Giannis, because we all pointed to, we'll play Giannis at the five. You finally have it. You have Brook Lopez, your traditional rim protector. You know, the guy that you need in matchups like a Nikola Jokic. Nobody's going to stop Nikola Jokic, but a big body to throw on him. I would have said against the Philadelphia 76ers, we're not going to see Joel Embiid again for the remainder of the season. The Bucks aren't either, but you're not going to see Joel Embiid for the remainder of the season. I think it remains to be seen what or when we see Joel Embiid next season as well. But you need those types of matchups. You need somebody else that can spell him when you're playing a team like case in point tonight. We mentioned 1 through 3 centers for the Dallas Mavericks were out tonight. They're going to be out on Wednesday night as well. So you need to be able to say, okay, if we don't dictate the pace, if we don't dictate the play style, and it's them and they're getting out and running, we got to be able to match that. It's not necessarily Giannis at the five. It's not Bobby Portis. It's been Jericho Sims, somebody like that. Other options to throw out there in the backcourt, too. Again, Andre Jackson Jr. was the only guy for the longest time. You still have Andre Jackson Jr. You still have Ryan Rollins. We think, I should say. You still have Ryan Rollins. Kevin Porter Jr. in the mix. And what we've seen from him, where he's come in, is that guy to throw some length and athleticism on players. Gary Trent Jr. You have all these different pitches that you can throw now. That, I think, is what John Horst and Doc Rivers and everybody in this organization was talking about way back when they targeted versatility. It's not just bringing in a player that's versatile. It's bringing in players that fit what we want to do and are able to play different ways. Because you go back to when the Bucks won the championship, too. That run to the finals, which looked like we'd never get there when you revisit that Brooklyn Nets series. And you think about the way things looked and where it appeared to be headed after the first two games of that series, where Bucks were run off the floor. You know, you see James Harden go down, what, 13 seconds into game one, but the Brooklyn Nets still won that game by 9 or 10 points, I believe. Game two was a total disaster. Bucks lost by nearly 50 points in that game, and you came back to Milwaukee. I remember being in Deer District doing the pep rallies out there on the stage with Melanie Ricks and a few others, and the mood in the crowd and the vibe was, please don't get swept. Like, we've conceded. We don't think the Bucks are going to win, but just don't get swept by the Brooklyn Nets. That's what was kind of hanging over the group. You even up the series at 2 games apiece, and all of a sudden you got new life, right? You win game three. I'm like, okay, maybe they can win game four, and then who knows? It's a series. You win game four, and it is a series. You go to Brooklyn, you play the way that you did in game five and would have won if it weren't for Jeff Green having the game of his life and Kevin Durant going off once again. You win game six and you go back to Brooklyn for a game seven. But I mention all this to say in that series, Bobby Portis was basically exiled from the rotation. The Bucks had to find different ways to play. He wasn't out of the rotation for the rest of the playoffs, as we saw. He was back in the mix against the Atlanta Hawks. And yeah, Giannis went down, what, 2/3 the way through that series. But Bobby Portis played in the finals as well. It's so matchup dependent. That's why versatility is important. That's why playing different styles is important, because you can't look up and down and say, this team, we're going to get this team and then this team and then this team, and our roster set up for that. The Boston Celtics could a year ago, because they had the right mix of guys that were two-way players, caught a lot of luck with the draws that they had in the playoffs as well, but that was a solidly put together group. That is very rare. You need to have different styles of play throughout a playoff series. I think that's what the Bucks have pieced together. We obviously don't know that yet. We need to see this group in the playoffs. We need to see more of a runway of these new pieces that you brought in at the trade deadline. But I don't think, if we're being honest with ourselves, I don't think they were there before. I do think it was the Bucks can play one style. They're going to have to be the more physical team. They're going to have to score in the paint. They're going to have to lean on three guys. And now that's changed. And I think you've started to see what the ceiling is starting to look like for this group. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Again, the Atlanta Hawks, your next game. So you get 2 days off, then a back-to-back, then 2 days off, then a back-to-back. It is a very, very strange stretch of schedule here for the Bucks. We'll take a look at that and the updated standings as well. The most important games remaining for this Bucks group. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks bench has come up big in this game with 35 points to just 13 for Dallas. Gary Trent Jr. has led the way. He's going to try to add to his tally, and why not as he drills that one? I think he had his foot on the line, but he's got, if they gave him a three on that or not. Looks like they did.
Big bench game tonight for the Bucks. Gary Trent Jr., one of those six players in double figures. Same for Kevin Porter Jr. So that duo combined for 31 of their 43 bench points, and the Bucks beat the Dallas Mavericks tonight, 132 to 117. So again, 34 and 25 on the season. This is the first time the Bucks have been 9 games above 500 on the season. Can they get to that ever so elusive 10 games above 500 Tuesday night when they head to Atlanta to do battle with the Hawks? The Hawks right now 9th in the Eastern Conference at 27-33. They have lost 2 straight games. They do play Monday night. So that's the twist here. It's going to be night 2 of a back-to-back for the Hawks. It's night 1 of a back-to-back for the Bucks, who on night 2 have these same Dallas Mavericks at home. So you get 2 days off between now and Tuesday. Then you go into a back-to-back, Tuesday in Atlanta, Wednesday at home against the Mavs. Then you get another stretch of 2 days off, and that's it. No more pockets on the schedule after Friday, where the Bucks have multiple days off in between games, and that leads you into a back-to-back that frankly looked a lot more daunting a couple weeks ago when we were first really starting to pay attention to the schedule for the Bucks. Still going to be a challenge. But you go into that back-to-back that starts next Saturday with the Orlando Magic in Milwaukee. It's a Magic team that has not looked the same. They were great earlier in the season. They started to get everyone imaginable injured. Played over a month without Paolo Banchero. Same with Franz Wagner. They lost Mo Wagner for the season. They got Banchero back. They got Wagner back. And then the wins just weren't there. Now they're playing without Jalen Suggs indefinitely. So he is not going to be, you would think, he is not going to be in that game Saturday night. And that leads you into Sunday night. Another back-to-back with the Cleveland Cavaliers coming to town. Your final matchup with Cleveland this season. And, you know, the games that you have left, there's just 2 of them with the top 3 seeds in the East. And those 3 teams are going to be the top 3. Cavs are very clearly going to be the 1 seed, especially after that win against the Boston Celtics on Friday night. Celtics and New York Knicks, that's going to be something to monitor to see, can the Knicks catch the Celtics and grab that 2 seed? But you only have 2 games left against those top 3 seeds. They are important litmus test games, right? We've talked about, hey, this team is This team's in a better spot. This group looks better. You like the personnel that you've brought in since the trade deadline. That was really the unfortunate part about the way this schedule broke. Not only what the Bucks had in terms of opponent win percentage after the All-Star break, but the fact that all of your games, essentially all of your games against those three teams came early. 80%. You play 10 games against the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. Eight of them came in the first, month and a half of the season. So it's going to be important to see, how do we match up with these groups, right? Even though it's night two of a back-to-back when you play the Cavaliers, what can we do differently? How do we look against them? You got the Knicks coming to Milwaukee at the end of March. How do we look against the New York Knicks? It's still not unforeseeable that the Bucks could slide down to six. When you look at where they're at in the standings, the fact that the Detroit Pistons are very likely going to triple their win total from a season ago. Pistons keep on winning. They routed the Boston Celtics just the other night. Pistons are knocking on the door, two games back of the Bucks in the loss column with two games remaining against the Bucks. The Pacers aren't going away. So you could finish fourth, fifth, or sixth. I don't think it's going to be any lower than that. For the same reasons we said, it's going to be beyond challenging for the Bucks to catch the Knicks. It's going to be just as challenging for the Heat, the Magic, and you name it to catch the Bucks, because they're the same distance back of the Bucks, and they also don't have the tiebreaker against them. So you do need to put up good showings in those games just to see everything we thought with this group, with these trades that we made, and how it allows us to play differently and gives us versatility. It sets us up better for the playoffs. I know it's not the playoffs in these games. It's going to be close to a playoff game. How does that translate in those two games left against the Knicks and the Cavs? And again, the first of those is going to be next week, next Sunday night, with the Cleveland Cavaliers coming to town. But the most important games left for the Bucks: March 11th, March 15th, and then all the way back to the end of the season, which I said it was your second or two of your final three. They are your final two games. I misspoke. So March 11th, March 15th, April 11th, April 13th. Those are your most important games remaining. March 11th is in Indiana against the Pacers. March 13th or March 15th is home against the Pacers. April 11th is in Detroit against the Pistons. And April 13th, the final day of the regular season, is home against the Detroit Pistons. I will preview the matchup coming up next with the Atlanta Hawks, who again, 27-33, one of the very few sub-500 opponents the Bucks have left on their schedule. An important one for the Bucks to get and keep this rolling. We'll preview that matchup and wrap things up after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
Tuesday night, Bucks head to Atlanta to take on the Hawks. 6:30 tip, 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. We'll, of course, have Bucks Talk coming up immediately after the game. So after these results today, the Bucks have gone from fifth to seventh in terms of their most difficult schedule remaining in the league. It is still the most challenging schedule left in the Eastern Conference, but by the numbers, the Bucks are currently alone in fourth. Pacers and Pistons follow them. The Indiana Pacers still have a greater percentage chance of getting the four seed. So the numbers suggest our first round matchup is going to be the Pacers as the four seed and the Bucks as the five seed. Playing the Pacers 2 years in a row, something that had not happened until the late 90s, George Karl's first 2 years as the head coach of the Bucks. That's the scenario we would be looking at. Another interesting one for the Bucks, though, again, don't have many games left against sub-500 teams, so it makes it all that more important. Tuesday night in Atlanta against the Hawks, 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.